Well, good morning, everyone. This is my opportunity to wish you a very happy Christmas. If you're a visitor here, I'm Hugh Thompson, one of the pastors here at City Church. And looking around, I guess quite a few of you here are less than 18 years old. And 18 is called the age of majority. Once you're 18, you can vote. Once you're 18, you can open a bank account. Once you're 18, you can serve in a jury. You can get a tattoo. You can buy alcohol. 18 is the set time for all of these things. And until then, you just have to wait. Well, there's a sense in which that was true for the first Christmas. God's plan was to send his son into this world as a man. And it had a date attached to it. And the world had to wait. Here's what Paul wrote. I hope it's going to come up in front of you. Yes, there we are. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son. That was about 2,000 years ago, when the set time fully came. So I want us to ask this morning, why then? The great tragedy of human history happened way back in the Garden of Eden, when the first man and the first woman turned their back on God and tried to live without him. And they were thrown out of God's presence. But right back there in Eden, Christmas was predicted. Here's what God said to Satan, to the serpent. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And of course, the offspring of the woman, that was going to be Jesus. But Jesus didn't come then. The set time hadn't come. But from then on, humankind was waiting for this person, this Messiah, waiting for the man who would be born to destroy the devil's work. So Adam and Eve had, first of all, two sons, Cain and Abel. Could one of them be the serpent crusher, the Messiah? Well, no. Cain turned out to be a murderer, and Abel was his victim. And then Seth was born. Is this the one? Well, Seth lived, he lived for 912 years, but no, he wasn't the Messiah. And so it went on through history for centuries. But God's time wasn't yet. The human race had to wait thousands of years till the moment of God's perfect timing arrived. And 2,000 years ago, when the time had fully come, God sent his son. Well, why then? Think how the gospel spread. Jesus was born into the Roman Empire. There was a common language. Everyone spoke Greek. The gospel message could be understood. There were good Roman roads and communications. And the good news of Jesus was able to spread quickly. There was a hunger for truth. People were abandoning the old mythical so-called gods of Roman Greece and all their ridiculous frolics in Mount Olympus. And there was a growth in what were called mystery religions. And the mystery religion said salvation is personal. God wants a personal relationship with you. And that was a brand new idea. And the Old Testament law had prepared the way for Jesus. God's people were given the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. And the next 1,500 years between Sinai and Jesus' birth had demonstrated time and time again that men and women simply can't live to please God. Well, Paul goes on in Galatians. Here's the next verse. When the time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman. Born of a woman. Jesus came as a man, fully a human being. And like all of us, Jesus possessed 100,000 genes, 10 billion nerve cells, several miles of wiring, 8 meters of intestinal plumbing, 5 liters of blood, an assorted biochemical engineering. He was born as a baby, and he grew up to be an adult, and in every way, he was a human being. He was a man. But why? Why a man? Why a man? Jesus was one of us, fully human. How extraordinary that God, from all eternity, should step into time and history. That God, who made everything, should choose to become part of his creation. The baby in the manger would grow up to be the man we read of in the Gospels. And we find Jesus weary at the well, and hungry in the desert, and angry in the temple, and tearful at the graveside, and asleep in the boat, and thirsty on the cross. And he had compassion on the crowds, and he was betrayed by his friend, and he lived with death threats, and he was bowed down with sorrow as the cross approached, and he was deserted by his followers. Listen, in creation, men and women were made in the image of God. In the incarnation at Christmas, God took on the image of man apart from sin. Someone said once, my biggest problem with Jesus is that he came to earth and he acted like he owned the place. But he did, didn't he? He did. He does own the world. Jesus owns everything. So look at the baby in the manger and there see, as the carol tells us, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Why did Jesus come as a man? To identify with us in our humanity, to be one of us. And not just that, he was born under law. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, the Old Testament law. Jesus was, Jesus is God. And he has been from all eternity. And when you turn to the Old Testament and read the Ten Commandments, they describe what Jesus is like. And when you read about the final judgment in the Bible, it's Jesus who's going to be the judge. So why on earth would Jesus be subject to the law? Why under the law? Well, Jesus did what no one else has ever done. He grew up from being a baby into a man who perfectly obeyed God's law and was perfectly obedient in every little detail. Jesus put himself under the law in order to fulfill the law. But there's more than that. This baby was going to grow up and take the blame for our disobedience to God's law. The child in the manger would grow up to be the man on the cross. Jesus was born as a man, born as a baby, in order to die as a man. There's a famous painting by William Holman Hunt called The Shadow of the Cross. Now, I don't know how well you can see that, but it shows Jesus now grown up and working as a carpenter. And he's shown there with his arms outstretched, and the shadow of his outstretched arms fall on this wooden beam, like a sort of shadow of the crucifixion. Right from his youth in Galilee, right from his infancy in the manger, Jesus was always headed for the cross. That's what he came for. The reason for Christmas was Easter. The reason for Christmas was Easter. The child in the manger would become the man on the cross. The innocent baby was going to become sin for us. So why did Jesus come then? It was God's perfect timing. Why did Jesus come as a man? So that he could perfectly represent you and me in his life and death. Why did Jesus put himself under the law? To fulfill the law for us, to suffer the law's penalty for us. And then lastly, what was it all for? What was it all for? God's son Jesus was born in our human line, so that we might be reborn in his glorious line. So we read in the scriptures, he came to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Adoption to sonship. And Paul, who wrote that, uses a special word here, a special word for sonship. It means the status of being a son of God, the full rights of sons. That baby in the manger at Christmas was the Son of God, and through his life, birth, life, death, and resurrection, he offers us sonship too. The Son of God was born as a human being so that we might be born again as children of God. Now, how amazing, how wonderful is that? Let me, as we draw to a close, read you something written by an American minister back in the 19th century, a man called Samuel Prime. He said, "It is easy to know the knock of a beggar at one's door, low, timid, hesitant. It seems to say, I have no claim on the kindness of this house. I may be told I come too often. I may be treated as troublesome and unworthy. The door may be flung in my face by some surly servant." How different on his return from school, the loud knocking, the bounding step, the joyous rush of the child into his father's presence. And as he climbs on his father's knee, the bold face and the ready tongue, which he reminds his father of some promised favor. See what a privilege we've been given to be children of God if we're Christians. When the New Testament was being translated into Indian languages, one of the Indian translators was startled by this saying, adoption to sonship. And he said, it's too much. Let me rather render it, they shall be permitted to kiss his feet. Adoption to sonship. Well, some kids boast that their fathers have fast cars, or live in big houses, or have important jobs. If we're Christians, we are quietly secure in the knowledge that our Father in heaven owns all the cars and all the houses and everything else besides. Jesus came in God's perfect timing. Jesus came as a man. Jesus put himself under the law, and his purpose was that we, you and me, might enter into the bliss of a relationship with God the Father. So as most of us have a break from the busyness of life and work, let's just be sure we take time to thank God for his indescribable gift. I mean, that's why we give Christmas presents, isn't it? To picture the gift of gifts, God's Son given to us as a free gift. If I was to be honest, I have to say that when I was a kid, the one thing I didn't like about Christmas was that my mother made me sit down and write thank you letters for all the presents I'd been given. I'm embarrassed to remember that now, how rude and lazy and ungrateful I must have been. But let's be sure that we stop to thank God this Christmas for his most wonderful gift of all, the Lord Jesus. If we're too busy eating and drinking and opening presents to remember what it's all about, then we've missed the whole point. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, my hope and prayer for you is that this might be the year when you grasp what Christmas is really about, that this might be the year when you come to be a child of God, and that will make it the best Christmas ever for you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for that greatest of gifts, the gift of all gifts, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that he humbled himself to be born in squalor in a stable. How we thank you that he lived a perfect life of obedience and yet died for our sins on the cross. How we thank you that when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus, we belong to you and have the amazing privilege of being your children. Help us to celebrate that with joyful hearts this Christmas, in Jesus' name. Amen.